The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is sick with a bad head cold, Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews, feeling great today.
Feeling all actually. Right.
I do have a fat lip, though. Can you tell in my Skype?
No, because that big thing is covering your you're talking into. Why do you have a fat lip? Oh!
See it?
What happened?
I have very sharp incisors, like a vampire. And I bit my lip like a week ago when I was eating, but nothing, like, you know, when you bite like the side of your lip or your mouth, your cheek, it didn't hurt that much at the time, but because it got swollen, I've since bit it several more times, which now
so
hurts
annoying.
Like a motherfucker because now it's like swollen and sore and it hurts. And it looks like, I realize this is a podcast and not video, so for all you listeners, it looks like I'm a Beverly Hills housewife who got only half my lips done. Oh. I'm like Lisa Rinna on just half. And it's like,
yeah.
It's noticeable and people are trying not to stare at it when they're talking to me. Like I had a photographer come to the new house we just bought to take pictures of it. And he was like visibly distracted by my fat half a lip. And I was I didn't say anything, but I was so close to being like, okay, here's what happened. It wasn't elective surgery gone wrong. But now I just wish it would, I could bite the other side so it would even out. And I could have
just
like
do it.
Luscious, like.
Have Lance punch you in the mouth.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to say have Lance like nibble me.
Oh.
Well, either way, I don't think he's going to be into it. I don't think he's going to be into it.
Either way, that'll be fun.
So I'm just going to have a lopsided face for a while.
Oh my God. Speaking of the Real Housewives, like I don't even know. The morning was like I woke up in the middle of the night feeling like a truck hit me, feeling so bad. And then Jose Luis is like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm so sick. And he's like, okay. And then I remember parts of this morning because I took like a nighttime,
NyQuil?
You know, Alka-Seltzer. I'm all about the Alka-Seltzer cold stuff. But I took like a nighttime one and then I was like 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, just kept waking up. And then he said this morning, don't worry, I'll deal with the kids. And I was like, okay, I'll be up in a minute. And then I remember at one point Santiago coming in and being like, I love you, Mom. And I'm like, I love you.
You're like all groggy.
I think he might have, like, put a carrot in their lunch, sent them off to school. Hopefully they have something to eat or, you know, put in their some form of nutrition for their lunch today.
I'm sure your husband was a very good housewife this morning.
I know. I'm not giving him credit. He's good. He's really, really good. But I was just like, are they gone? Like, and he's like, yeah, babe, it's like 9:30. I'm like, what? So anyway.
But you're feeling a little bit perkier now.
I'm feeling perkier. I had some coffee and I gave myself some oatmeal because I feel like when you're sick, you just need to eat some carbs, you know?
Yeah, comfort food.
Feed a cold, starve a fever, feed a cold. So I was thinking I might just sit in a dark room all day and eat like
mac and cheese,
cereal, mac and cheese, you know, sugar, salt, and watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because I haven't caught up on it. Mm-hmm. Of course, then they'll make me feel fat.
Yeah, but they'll also make you feel smart.
True.
I feel like it's a rough season. I also feel like we could have a podcast totally talking about Real Housewives exclusively. Maybe even just the Beverly Hills season because I'm really into it.
A spinoff.
Yeah. Well, text me once you catch up because I am not loving Dorit. I'll leave it at
that.
Oh,
my gosh. I know.
I just find her really annoying And also PK, her husband. It is never a good idea when house husbands get really involved. Like, think of all the house husbands in any season. The ones that get really involved in the drama, they end up looking the most ridiculous. And PK
looked so dumb.
He is on a fast track to house husband hall of shame. You heard it here first, people. PK, embarrassing.
Well, I just paused it on the episode where it's PK's birthday party and they just revealed that Boy George was going to play, but I paused it.
Yeah. He plays like half a song.
Oh, really?
I think he's a reluctant participant in the show because that was the only way that they were going to get Dorit on it was her connection to him.
I think so, because she's a lot of boring.
Yeah, she's boring and PK's dumb. So that's my take on that.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. So Christy and I were talking about, like, what should we talk about on the show? Because I feel like the last few episodes that we have released have been very heavy, right? Very, you know, the timeline, three-part series, very content-heavy.
Mm-hmm. Very informative.
Extremely, extremely informative and valuable.
Not hilarious.
The Maria Chang interview, amazing.
Deep.
Emotional, inspirational.
Revealing. Who knew? What the heck? I had no idea.
I was like, I have worked with her so many times and for so many years. But you know what I've realized on this trip that back home is that I've worked with a lot of these vendors and call them friends and feel like we're a bit of a family because we've worked on so many weddings together. But I don't ever remember getting down on a deep level like that.
Yeah.
With them before, you know, and maybe it's because
it's split. Our lives are very split. It's like coworkers that you love and you see at the office every day. And then you find out one of them just got divorced and you're like, what the heck? I had no idea you were even having problems. But it's because it's so split, your personal life and the work life. You work with them and you go out for drinks with them after work and you're talking about weddings and brides and the wedding industry. And then boom. She tells you she escaped Nicaragua on foot. And you're like, what?
I know. I was like, holy, what the hell? And same thing. I interviewed Michelle Walker and we got so deep. And I'm like, I freaking love you. Like, I loved you before.
I love you, man.
Why aren't we hanging out more? Oh, I live in Boston. But still, like,
that's good. This podcast is bringing you closer to them on another level.
I know. So, you know, Christy, you and those who are listening, we thought let's make this episode just a little bit more back to us, like how we started this podcast, just chatting away, you know, talking about Real Housewives.
Yeah, and catching up too, because it has been
catching up
since you went to the Bay Area. You're doing so much on your own out there. It's hard for us to interview people in a three-way interview the way that we have it set up. And I think we've done it, and it has been successful, more successful in certain podcasts than others, the way we've set it up and done them. But there is something to be said for just a one-on-one interview. Like, you're honing your skills as an interviewer interviewing these people out there, and it's a little awkward to have a third person on a call, you know, to co-host. So you and I haven't had the opportunity to just do a show, just the two of us, in several weeks because you've been doing so many out there on your own, which we will be releasing soon, which is really exciting.
Really exciting. Good stuff. So I thought we would talk a little bit about the podcast because I get a lot of, you know, and I know you're going to talk about this on where you live in Texas, but in Boston – I'll ask people, so do you listen to podcasts? And then, you know, some people are like, yes, I listen all the time. I love them. And some people are like, what are you talking about? What's a podcast? Mm-hmm. And then here in California, most people know what a podcast is. And most people listen to them. So it's interesting. And now I'm getting a lot of, especially in the wedding industry, because I've been going to these networking events, which I haven't done in so long. People are asking me, so why are you doing this? Like, tell me, like, how does this work? Are you making money? Are you making money doing this?
Yeah. Or is it bringing you business?
Is it bringing you business? And my answer is always like, I'm not making any money. I've spent a little money. I'm spending money. But I was just talking to Jose Luis about this yesterday. Like, I am effortlessly.
Hey-o.
Effortlessly. There's the cough medicine. Effortlessly. Say it again.
You are effortlessly.
Effortlessly. Thank you.
There you go.
Working hard on this.
Right. And that it doesn't so much feel like work, obligatory, like, no. I have to do this thing.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I feel like it's just very much like this creative outlet. And I feel like I don't know, I can't pinpoint exactly why I'm doing it. Other than that, it's fun. I love talking about weddings. You know, like I could talk about weddings forever. I love talking to you. I have like all this knowledge over all these years that I feel like I can spew out and still like have fun doing that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the bottom line is, and I guess the short answer would be like, I'm doing it because I want to do it. And mm-hmm. when you came up with the idea, over a year ago, it was a way bigger idea than just a podcast. Like this network and this online thing, and then there'll be this kind of outlet, and then there'll be this vendor list, and people can sign up, and they'll pay monthly, and this will happen. And it got chiseled down to what could be potentially the first step of a bigger journey for us. But what I really think happened is we have figured out that this fits our personalities, this podcast mm-hmm. business, as it were, this world of podcasting. Like, we're both wedding planners and moms and wives, and we wear a bunch of different hats, and we're driving our kids all over, and then we're doing venue visits and networking and social media and blogging and contracts and blah, 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 trying to be like the best version of ourselves. But we're also two women who really like to talk and have a little bit of a performative, you know,
background.
Yeah, background and like gene. So I think it just works for us. Because if we had done 5 or 6 of these and it had been a drag, I would have had to call you, or you would have called me and just been like, I can't anymore. Like, if this is not going to be fun and something that I look forward to, it can't take time out of the rest of my life and everything else that I'm doing. So I feel really good that we're doing it, and I feel good that we have listeners, of course. But I also think it's really awesome when I see other wedding blogs or wedding industry people starting podcasts, because I know that we didn't miss our opportunity. Like, if we had just talked about it, now we would be kicking ourselves like, there's 4 other wedding planners who in the past 6 months have started a podcast. Why didn't mm-hmm. we do it? And now we don't have that regret, and that feels really good. So putting these out there every week and then looking at our website. Our website, by the way, has all of our show notes. So it's sort of like a Cliff Notes version of the whole podcast. And every episode has notes about what we talked about. And if we link to any websites, you know, so if you miss an episode or if something's interesting to you, you should check out our show notes on the website. But I was looking back through it.
And Christy does those show notes, by the way.
And they're kind of funny.
They are kind of funny. And I do have to say, I go over them and I take out lots of exclamation marks.
Oh, you did? You take out my exclamation marks? How
I do take out
you?
Your exclamation marks. Because you do a lot. You get excited about when you're writing. I can tell.
It's because of my tone. Yeah, because I say things sarcastically, but when you write them, it's hard to...
Yeah, you totally write it the way you talk. And then the other thing I've noticed you're doing, that I used to do this, but I don't do it anymore because somebody said it's a sign of being old.
Crazy.
Oh. Is after when you're typing, because this is how I learned how to type back in the day when we learned how to type. After a period, you would hit the space bar twice.
Yes, I do that.
But I've heard that that is a big no-no now. Mm. And I've stopped it, but I notice it on yours.
I can probably get myself to stop that because since I've been trying to figure out this Twitter BS so hard lately, I have been removing spaces in order to fit my, you know, fit how many symbol, you know, letters you're allowed to have. So Yeah, I think I did know that that two spaces was faux pas. But when you're typing away, my gosh, that's like, that was ingrained in us in fourth grade. So
I know.
What the hell, man?
It hit space twice. Why did they? I don't. So if anybody out there knows why, what is this proper writing etiquette? Do you hit the space bar twice after you finish a sentence or just once? Help us out. But Christy does all the show notes. So I edit. I'll, you know, after this, for example, when we finish recording this episode, we'll hit save. Christy will send me in Dropbox her GarageBand file with her audio, and then I like match it up with mine. I listen to it. I make any very minor edits. I don't edit this a lot. I try not to. Then I send it to Christy. She listens to it, and she types out the show notes and sends those to me in a Google Doc. And then we come up with some sort of something we said at some point that was either witty or funny and send that to my husband, who is in the advertising industry and knows graphics really well. And he will create what we call our social media cover art. Is that what we call it? I don't know what we call it.
Yeah.
Our graphic for the show. And we use that when we... post on Facebook or Instagram or tweet, right?
Yes, and then he sends that out, and I use that on our Twitter, and we use it on our Facebook, and then we try to retweet and relink and all of that stuff. And that is
freaking social media, man.
See that if double spaces shows my age, then and lack of Twitter knowledge also shows my age, because I have a book in my office that is Twitter for Dummies. No joke. And
you
my
do?
Friend, yeah, I can send it to you.
Yeah.
My friend gave it to me probably 8 years ago. Trisha gave it to your bride.
Trisha gave
and
it
my,
to
now
you.
My
yeah.
very good friend. Yeah. She gave it to me. It is old, so we probably need a new one. I haven't picked it up in years. But that being said, it's just that this social media, like getting a following for the podcast is one thing, and we're further along than I thought we expected to be at this point in the game, which is so great. Thank you for listening. Please continue to listen and tell your friends about it. But then the social media part is also very tricky. So for every episode that we put out there, it's, I would say, what, minimum 8 hours between the two of us and your husband of work that goes into it.
Yeah.
So that just means we wouldn't be doing it unless we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think either one of us really know where this will take us in terms of future career moves.
Who knows?
But the door is open because we did it. So that's really great.
And I don't know. I think our audience is mostly couples getting married. But I also think there's a fair number of vendors that are listening to it as well. I mean, our idea was that it would be anyone who is involved in weddings, right? Anybody who wants to hear or talk about weddings, but mainly couples getting married. That's who I think it is. But we'll see. I mean, it's hard to know that, right? There's no statistics that tell us that. All I know is how many downloads we get. And then when you, our listeners, are sending us tweets or emails, then it's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's somebody who's actually listening.
Yes.
And it's so cool.
On that note, we would love to hear more from you, our listeners, about if you're ever listening and something is brought up, or we're talking about timelines or budget, and as you're listening, you're like, wait a minute, what about this very specific circumstance that I'm dealing with right now? Tweet us that question, or email us, or put it on our Facebook page, or respond to one of our Instagram posts about it. Like, so in some way, reach out to us, and we will address it on a future episode. And we're so excited about that interaction. And tell us how the podcast can help. Tell us what you like about it. Tell us what episodes, you know, you're into or you're not into, and when we can make it better by using all of that feedback.
And we know like half of our audience probably listens to this in the car. So one of my, you know, people I look up to in the podcast world is Dan Benjamin. And I've heard him say before on one of his shows, like, pull over right now. Put on your hazard lights. Pull over to the side of the road. put it in park and, you know, write down your question or, you know, don't get in a car accident, but like pull over.
Please get in touch with me in a safe way.
In a safe way. And then tweet us later or, you know, do a voice memo in your phone. Even, you know, I think it's so funny how he says that. He's awesome.
Yeah. In whatever way you can reach out and whatever feedback you have, we are so receptive to that. And I was when I was looking through the show notes and realized what is this? The 2020 something that we're not the date, but that we're recording.
Well, we've recorded, this is would be 29 actually that I have on my, because I've been doing a lot of interviews, but it's not 29 that we've put out. We have that, yeah.
So in the future, I wanted to let our listeners know some things that we'll definitely be talking about that we have touched on in prior episodes and that definitely need more, more breaking down. Mm-hmm. So I just jotted down some things. We will talk more about hair and makeup. We'll talk to another hair and makeup artist. Maria Chang is a hair and makeup artist, or just she just does makeup, right? Not hair.
No, they do hair too. They do. She's makeup, but I think she has people that do makeup.
Yes, I think you're right on her team. So we'll definitely do more about hair and makeup, specifically the hair and makeup schedule, which is like a timeline within your big wedding day timeline, and also more on transportation for the wedding day. Because as we were talking about timelines, we both realized like, oh, the transportation timeline can be complicated. And we definitely have some hints and tricks about how to simplify that process for yourselves as you're planning your wedding and on the day. And then I think we'll go into episodes about not just how to hire a wedding planner that you really love, which Michelle and I are, you know, knowledgeable about personally, but also we'll talk to other vendors and find out, you know, really good advice about how to hire the right vendors for your wedding. Mm-hmm. Questions to ask them or information to share with them or ways to compare one DJ to another DJ in order to find the perfect fit for yourselves. Because I'm in Dallas, Michelle's in the Bay Area, and then she'll be back in Boston soon. But these are all markets that are there are plenty of vendors to go around and lots to choose from. So we will talk more in another episode about how to choose the perfect vendors for your wedding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what else do we say? Oh, a lot of times we hear from couples that they have hired a bunch of vendors and then maybe sort of run out of money. And we'll say something along the lines of, oh, and then my mom is just going to do the flowers. Or my friend's boyfriend is going to be the DJ. Something like that where you're pulling in favors or you're doing a little DIY. And we have opinions about that. Both what works and what doesn't and pitfalls to avoid. So that will be a future episode as well. Like where can you stick your talented friends? Is there room for friends on your wedding day, or should you stick to all professionals? And what if that's not possible? And where can you cut corners if you have to? Mm-hmm. We'll have to be careful with that episode too, don't you think?
Well, yeah, because I think a lot of that depends on the individuals, because it can work. And I've seen it work.
It totally can work. It can also be a flipping disaster that you will regret for the rest of your life.
Oh my God! I think we want to
guide you in the right direction on those.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
And then since we talked so much about budget and timeline, the other very important piece of paperwork that your wedding planner will work with, and he or she might call it lots of other names, but we call it the final details checklist. So eventually we will do an episode where we talk about that pile of stuff that is growing in the corner of your house that you've been putting wedding stuff, just that giant pile that has signs that say bride and groom, and it has place cards that need to be filled out, and it has frames and, you know, toasting flutes and all of the items that you've been collecting. We'll break that down a little bit and maybe give you some ideas of things that you've forgotten or have been left off the list, or things that you don't really need and that will be redundant or, you know, unnecessary on the wedding day.
Yeah, that's a good thing to talk about for sure. There is that pile, probably just a lot of people who have a guest room. The guest room becomes wedding central.
Mm-hmm. The office is like half wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've done weddings where the bride and groom had to rent, no joke, a U-Haul to give me everything that they wanted to set up. And I remember seeing it that day and being like, where have you been keeping all of this? You live in San Francisco. I know wherever you live, you don't have room for all of this. And it was all stuff that I set up. And then 6 hours later, I broke it all down and put it all back in the U-Haul. And I thought, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy because it was all that set up and all of that stuff in the U-Haul and everything for one half a day. And then it's all going to go somewhere. It doesn't just disappear. What are they going to do with all this shit?
Yeah.
I mean, it had to have been their whole house. Like that their wedding style must have looked exactly like their house, which is fine. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? But
totally.
It's just and then I've had brides who handed me like a shoebox and that was it. Here's the note
everything?
Cards. Yeah. What? Oh, I included an extra Sharpie and I'm like, oh, wow, this is extremely lightweight for all the items I thought you were bringing, but that works too.
Yeah.
So that's what is coming up. And as of now, there's 20 something episodes already out there on iTunes and on our website.
That's so cool. So what have you been, because I feel like I haven't talked to you except for quick texts here and there since like in the last couple weeks. Like, I know you had that big open house thing that you did.
I did have a big open house that I was a co-host of. So an open house for the wedding industry is usually to show off a venue, and that I was invited because I've worked at this venue and it's a relatively new venue to design half of the main floor, basically. And then another wedding planner will do the other half. So do a styled table and then bring my team of vendors as well. So they were all representing themselves on my half of the room. And then the other planner had the other half and the venue themselves had some stuff. And there was a couple caterers and a couple cake bakers and a DJ. And basically this venue invited anybody that's already booked their wedding there to come. And they had about 200 people. And it was really fun and it was a lot of work, but it ended up being beautiful. And I'll post pictures about it on my website later. Actually, I have some on the Facebook page. But the long reason I'm telling that story is because open houses can be a really great way for brides and grooms and couples to get to know a bunch of vendors at one time and not just like go to a table and pick up a business card, but actually go to the table, pick up the business card and talk to the person that's there. Like really get to know them a little bit. It's a unique opportunity in 2 hours to get to know 20 vendors. And then maybe you hire somebody that you met that night.
So was this like a bridal expo?
It was very specific to this venue. So they only invited vendors that are local, that have worked there before, or that they knew would have already been booked to work there.
Oh,
so it was
so
sort of like
different.
Getting to see the whole, it's like if a venue hands you their preferred vendor list, this was a live preferred vendor list.
So that's cool. And that's the difference between like, if you go to like a bridal expo, those are just, they're just inviting random vendors, whoever can pay for their space to be part of a bridal expo. This was more of an exclusive, like we vetted
curated.
These vendors. We know they're great.
We would love, the venue was saying like, we would love for you people who've already paid your deposit to get married here to hire anybody that's here at this. And it was an opportunity for me to show off my design because, I mean, I had things on the ground. I had things hanging from the ceiling and full setup as if it were like setting up for a tiny wedding or it was a sample of what one of my weddings might look like. And it was really fun. And then I did another open house last weekend for another big venue in Dallas. And that was the same thing. They invited, we didn't pay to be there. They invited the vendors that they want to work with. And most of the guests or most of the attendees were getting married there. So if the end of this story is, if you book a venue and it's a year out, and a couple months after you book, the venue sends you an email and says, we're having an open house, you should come join us. I think it can be very worthwhile to do that, specifically if you've already booked the location.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's sort of like you have a short list then of vendors that you know are familiar with the space. And like I said, you actually get to meet them face to face. So it can save you time. Instead of scheduling meetings with this DJ and the baker and the rental company, you can talk to them at the open house. And, you know, most of the time people have photos and albums and actual goods to show you. So that is what I have been up to. And then you've been out there in San Francisco and the Bay Area going to networking events, right?
I've gone to a couple networking events. Yeah.
Pros.
And like I said, I haven't been, I mean, having lived here and grown up here and started my business here back in 2002, like I've been to a lot of networking events.
But like the kid who transferred schools as a freshman and then came back as a senior. And you're like, I'm back, bitches.
Yeah.
What's
and
up?
Everybody's like,
and
oh
everything's changed, but nothing's changed. And
yeah. There's a little more gray hair on people, a little less hair on some men. a lot of people look fabulous. And so I went to the Westin St. Francis the other night, upstairs, up on the 32nd floor. Have done so many weddings there in the past, and it was just awesome to be up there. And the same lady who's always for events at those elevators as you get off the floor was there. I don't know if you remember her. She's like this Asian lady. She has glasses. She smiles all the time. She's always in a little black pantsuit. She's so sweet. And I'm like, hey, I remember you.
I only did one wedding there. I don't remember her.
Okay. Yeah. She said she's been working there 18 years and it was really awesome. And the room itself is amazing. You know, they've done some cosmetic stuff, you know, drapes and carpet. But the room itself it's insane. The view of San Francisco is just one of the best.
I know. That's a hotel right on Union Square. It's beautiful.
Right on Union Square, yeah. And so I saw a lot of people. I saw Georgina and Justin. They said to say hello to you. He picked me up and twirled me around. He's like, you look really different. I'm like, yeah, 50 pounds lighter. You wouldn't have been able to do this different 6 years ago.
it's interesting in this industry because there is at when people start out, like maybe for the, I don't know what the stats are, but it feels like for the first 3 or 5 years, the turnover seems really high. Like every time you call the Westin, or I'm saying the Westin because that's the hotel you're at, but any major hotel, if it's been a year or two, the salesperson is different.
I know.
And they're like, oh, the old girl went to that. I mean, there's a lot of people industry poaching, you know, like they go from a rental company and then they start working as a sales associate and then they go back to a rental company. And planners, especially, it seems like there's always a crop of new wedding planners. And in a couple years, half of them are gone. You don't see them anymore.
Yeah.
But the people that Michelle's reconnecting with are people that have been in the industry a long time. So they're past that level of, am I going to make it? Is this what I'm going to do with my life? Like,
yeah,
they are doing it. They've been doing it and you've been doing it. So
in the Bay Area to boot. Which
yeah,
is
you're
like,
kind of back.
Yeah. And then, you know what I noticed, though, is there's a lot of new rental companies. Like smaller rental companies. And I met quite a few over these past few weeks that I've been here at different events. And a lot more vintage furniture is coming in. There's even this place out in Napa that is inviting me to their gallery opening, and all they rent, I don't even know how they're affording to do this, is like votive candles, lanterns, you know, tabletop, not glasses, not flatware, none of that. It's like decorative pieces for a tabletop. Yeah. I'm like, how do you afford space?
Right.
You know, in Napa, but it's interesting. These specialty rentals are getting more and more popular.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing that out here as well. And then after a couple of years, they will sell their stuff to a larger rental company, mm-hmm. and they'll make an announcement that says, you know, we just acquired all right. of the vintage glassware from this company. Isn't yeah. that great? And then, you know, I scratch one thing off my list and add it to another list. But
yeah,
to do, you know, if a wedding has a really specific look, you have to find a rental company that has exactly what they want. And a lot of times that's not going to be one of the really big, giant, covers all your bases rental companies.
Yeah. And I think the giant ones probably oftentimes can offer the product for a little less money. Sometimes the smaller ones can too, but I think that what I'm noticing is the difference with these smaller companies is that they're way more attention to detail because they have a smaller inventory. And so one of the guys is like telling me, you know, all of our chairs are covered, you know, and we don't stack them in a warehouse. We cover them up and just put them in rows, you know, and I was like, oh, interesting. So, you know, he's like, we take really, really good care of our product. I'm like, okay, that's cool. It's very interesting. And I went and interviewed Kathy at Abbey Party Rents and went into the warehouse. And it was interesting to see thousands and thousands and thousands of rental chairs. But what I did see was like a little dude, not a little dude, I shouldn't say that, but a few dudes in the back, like with chairs up on tables. And they were like, cleaning them and painting them and like, mm-hmm. you know, fixing it. And then there's a humongous dishwashing station where all these people were washing dishes. And then they were like organizing the tent warehouse. It's so fascinating.
Yeah.
To see
the
that.
Smaller companies can't employ 100 people to, you know, there's a reason why the big, big rental companies are doing as many weddings as they are. And that's the huge staff and a huge
And not just
space.
Weddings, but yeah.
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 And it's also, this is something to note if you're planning a wedding and looking at rentals, chairs, tables, linens, you know, dishes. If the catering company you use doesn't do that part, you need to do it yourself. I highly recommend narrowing your list down and then going to visit the rental company if you can. A salesperson that is used to working with clients and brides and grooms will walk you through because we are so used to getting everything we want online right now. But it's actually near impossible for rental companies to be updating their inventory and updating their websites and photos as often as they need to. And you'll find that most rental companies, and this is just true, I hate to say it, but their websites look a little dated. And it's because they have so much stuff and they're constantly getting rid of stuff and adding stuff that they can't. It's what I'm trying to say is go in person and see what they have, because your eyes will be opened and it'll be like, oh, that wasn't on your website. That wasn't even a category on your website.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, they're going to be like, yeah, we know our website needs some work, but it's just we're running a business here.
It's hard to keep up with it. Yeah.
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 Especially the giant warehouses. So they might have some treasures back there or give you some ideas if you go in person that you might save you some money about how to do something, or you might see something set up like a little, you know, little tablescape that they have set up. That's like, oh, I like how that looks. And that seems like I could get everything here. And one-stop shopping will always save you a little bit of money when you're planning your wedding. So, side note, go in person to the rental company if you can. It's going to be in a warehouse district. It's going to look like you don't want to be there in a parking lot alone at night.
It's going to be cold.
Make it happen.
If it's not
summer, it'll be windy.
So bring a jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. And check it out in person.
All right. You want to go through a few Q&A things? Did we go?
Yes. Yeah. Let's do that. Just some stuff. We wrote down some questions of that's been coming our way, either from clients that we're working with right now or through social media, which is, like I said, we're trying to pick that up. And one of those was in reference to a wedding or a podcast that we did where we talked about attire and what you should put on your invitation and the difference between black tie and black tie optional. Which we went into detail about that, and the answer is black tie means wear a tux and black tie optional means you could wear a tux or a suit. Mm-hmm. But I've been thinking about it, Michelle. Don't you think what it really means when you see that on the invitation is if it's, say it's two, you know, a bride and a groom that sent you the invitation. Mm-hmm. What it really means if it says black tie optional is we are going to be wearing black tie. Mm-hmm. You have the option, but we're telling you, they're giving you information that they themselves and their wedding party are going to be in tuxes and gowns.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like it's sort of to put it out there, like don't show up in jeans because I'm the groom and I'm wearing a tux.
My God, I hope nobody does anyway. Yeah, I guess so. I think also saying this to the couples out there is if you're going to put black tie optional on your invite, think about what you're wearing as well, specifically the guys. You should have a black tie.
Yeah.
You know, if it's optional.
Don't say anything if you're just going to wear a suit.
If you're going
to
wear
a
regular tie. A necktie, yeah. But bow tie is what we're referring to with black tie. That's a bow tie. That is a tuxedo. So yeah. You're saying tuxedo optional. And in my mind, the dudes are going to be wearing tuxes. The wedding party dudes are going to be wearing tuxes. And the girls are going to be wearing probably maybe floor length, but they don't. That's where it gets hairy. I feel like black tie, it's definitely floor length. Black tie optional.
Yeah, black tie optional is cocktail attire that you can throw in there. But it's not the same thing as it was 50 years ago. You know, people used to wear suits when they went on airplanes. Now people are wearing like pajamas, literally pajamas. So a wedding. It is, if it's a wedding that's on a beach or, at a farm, it's pretty likely that if you don't say anything about attire, you're going to have some people that, you're going to have women that are wearing heels when it's, you know, in a redwood grove and you should have said something about flats or wear wedges, something. Or if you don't say anything, even though your wedding's at a barn, somebody might wear something that just doesn't work.
So can we dissect that part though for a second?
If you care, you should say something.
You should say something. But when you say something, you're not going to get into those details on the actual invitation card, right? You're going to get into those details on the wedding website or perhaps include a typed up 8.5 by 11 note in the envelope of the invitation, but not like.
I've seen black tie on the actual invitation. Yes.
But
if you're saying things like ladies don't wear heels or cocktail attire, I've seen people, if you're specifying like casual, this wedding is casual, wear something casual, it's at a beach, flip flops welcome, all that would be on a separate little page. Or on your wedding website.
Yeah.
Or, just spread the word by having your moms tell your aunts and whatever, however it's going to trickle down so that people get the memo. But black tie, the words black tie can go at the bottom of a formal invitation.
The invitation. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very good. What else?
And then what else was on there? Oh, a question that I just got was about catering. Our caterer seems to be MIA. The wedding is 2 months away and we're totally afraid that they're just not going to show up and we need to hire a new caterer. Is that possible? Please help. 911 SOS emergency style.
Oh boy.
And this is because they did not put a deposit down and it's a very small local caterer who doesn't have a business history, and that this person has just stopped returning emails and phone calls. So my clients, and this is a month of clients I have in a couple months, they're panicked. Of course, that seems logical. And the answer is yes, they do need to hire a new caterer that they need to sign paperwork with and pay a deposit and make sure it's legit. So I'm putting them on that track. But their main question, I think, was, are we totally screwed? Please tell me it's possible to get a caterer in 2 months. And my answer to that is, yes, you can get a caterer in 2 months. Mm-hmm. It's not ideal. It's going to stress you out. It's going to stress me out. But don't cancel the wedding.
How many guests?
There are, it's like 55, 60.
Oh, oh good. It's small.
Yeah. Yeah. It's small. And they wanted, the reason that they went, I think, I don't know much about this couple because I was just hired by them essentially. But the reason that they went with this smaller local company is because they wanted a full vegan dinner, the whole thing.
That's gonna be tricky.
And there are fewer, there are certainly fewer caterers that will do that, but all is not lost. And you know, big catering companies can customize menus to a point. I mean, a giant catering company probably can't do kosher if they're not set up for that, but they can help. Call people and talk to them on the phone if you are having an emergency, you know, similar to this. Because even though they might not have the menu or the breakdown on their website, the person you talk to might still be able to offer some really great options that they can do. And I think ultimately that's what's going to happen with this couple. They need a caterer and they need it to be a professional wedding caterer who has done weddings before. So they'll figure it out. I put them on the right track, but the email was definitely panicked. So if you're listening, don't panic. It's going to be okay, even if you need to hire a caterer in 2 months. It can be done.
Yeah, you got plenty of time. It's all good.
Yeah, it's not 2 days.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else?
Yes, the last question we got this past week was about plus ones.
Oh, yeah.
Which we've also talked about this before. And I remember my show notes said something like, do I have to invite a plus one? And then I said, yes. Yes, you do. That's what Michelle and Christy think. Yes, you do. And then I put like dot, dot, dot. Okay, you don't have to. But our general go-to answer is if you're over 25, you should probably like let your guests bring someone. I hate to be ageist, but I think you should invite a plus one. But if you don't have it in your budget and you're just not going to do it, how do you politely make that clear? And there's wording in the invitation. And also you might just have to have some conversations with people. So this specific question was, I don't want random people at my wedding, and we're not letting guests invite plus ones if they're not married. But what about our wedding party? Do we let our wedding party bring their significant other? What if we don't know them? I don't want my bridesmaid's, you know, boyfriend of the week to be at my wedding. What do you do?
Yeah.
I think you decide what your answer is going to be and then talk with words face to face or on the phone. Don't send a text and be honest. We don't have enough money in the budget. I have a king's table set up. I want all my wedding party there with me. I just feel uncomfortable letting you or having you bring this guy that I've never met. And also if I let you bring him, then I have to let everybody else bring their significant other, and I really just would rather not do that. Please respect that. Thank you for being a part of my wedding party. Love you. Let's have lunch.
Yeah, I one of my brides has a similar. She's getting married at a venue that has, you know, a max capacity, right? And so she's trying to keep within that, knowing, you know, the drop off rate is typically 25%, but she sent me an email with a few different scenarios, like family with adult children, you know. In this case, the adult children lived in the home of the parents still. So my inclination was to say, you got to invite the whole family. You know, you can't just invite mom and dad. And you know this family. You know the children, right? And then should adult children get a plus one? You know, now do I have to invite their girlfriend and boyfriends?
Right.
No, right. I don't think you do, unless they're married. If they're married, yes. But it's
I agree.
there's some instances where it's like, well, they've been dating for 8 years.
Yeah.
But they're not married. Well, if you've hung out with them and they've been dating for 8 years and you're close, then yeah, you got to invite the girlfriend. But
totally. It's very specific case by case, because there's times where you're like, I'm not letting any of my husband's friends bring their girlfriends, but they're all going to sit at the same table and they all know each other and they all play on the same softball league. They're going to, you know, that's fine. It's case by case. That means that they're still going to have a really great time and they'll know someone. What you want to avoid is telling your cousin, telling your coworker, no, you can't bring your boyfriend. And then your coworker comes to your wedding and she's by herself and she doesn't know anyone. And she's sitting at a table by herself in a dress celebrating you. And she brought you a gift from Bed Bath & Beyond. And now she's just sort of by herself and not having any fun. And she's going to leave right after the cake is cut.
I know.
Let her bring her boyfriend.
I know. But then the other thing is, like, that's another scenario, right? You're in an office environment. All your coworkers know each other. Half of them are married. Half are not. Obviously, the ones that are married, you're going to let them bring their spouse, right? You're going to give them a plus one. But then you're like, oh, I just don't, I can't, I'm at my max. Do I let the other half bring a date? Even if I don't know who they're dating?
If you put that other half all at the same table, and so those eight single people are together and they can all hang out, that's great.
Yes.
But what if it's, you work in an office where you have eight coworkers and seven of them are married, and then there's Lonely Lisa.
Lonely Lisa.
And Lonely Lisa is getting invited to your wedding, but you tell her, no, you cannot bring anyone.
Aww,
I mean, that sucks for her.
Lonely
Why
Lisa.
Would she want to come? She'd
I
be
know.
Like, this is not fun. I don't want to go.
Well, then that's okay, because it's just one
there goes
person.
Your nesting bowls.
It's one person with one additional. It's not seven people plus the other eight that are married.
Yes.
You know, so there's all it's so
the plus one rule is definitely all over the map. You
it's all over.
Paint with a broad stroke on that one.
I know.
I'm half kidding when I say you should always let them bring a plus one. Half kidding in that, like, we get that question so often, and it's almost always about finances. And I am of the mind that if you have a wedding budget and you're resigned to the fact that you're going to go over your wedding budget, I think having guests there is the best reason to go over your wedding budget. That's all.
Definitely.
And I've been told before, you know, before my husband and I were married, that I was invited to a wedding and that my husband, who was my fiance at the time, couldn't come. And it kind of pissed me off. I mean, I still went, but I remember being bitter about it. So maybe I'm just projecting that out to the world.
I know.
So, yeah, that's some stuff that's been floating around our atmospheres lately in terms of our podcast, how we're feeling about our podcast, what feedback we're getting, what more we want out of it, and some questions that have been coming our way recently. And just giving y'all a little bit of a catch up in what's been going on with Michelle and I.
Yeah, and I just want to say that we released the first show.
I love you too.
What?
I love you too.
I love you too.
Oh, you were going to say something else?
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I love you too, man. I ignore you sometimes. No, I wanted to say that we released a show in November, right? And now we're in February, and it's been awesome.
This journey has been awesome with you, man.
But also, like, we're starting to get some people, like, tweeting us and emailing us and commenting, and we're seeing and hearing from you guys, and it feels great, and we really... I know I say this on every show, but we sincerely really do appreciate you, whoever is out there listening. Because we do this because we love it. But also it's really nice to know that you're getting something out of this too. So, like, keep it coming, man. I love it. Thank you.
Yes. Very good. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. Thanks for listening. And
you got to do the Twitter thing. You got to do the.
Oh, yeah. And if you do hit us up on Twitter, which please, please do that. I need to know. I need to know that these tweets are getting somewhere. Twitter is the hardest of all the social media because it is not like all that conducive to weddings specifically. Like Instagram is so pretty and like there's pretty pictures everywhere and people are linking and liking and hashtagging, and Twitter is like political and angry and there's trolls, and I'm like, trolls? This place is hostile.
Ugh.
So anyways, I'm trying to make it work over there, and it's at TBWP podcast, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And you can check out show notes there and find out a little bit more about Michelle and I. We have some funny little profiles over there.
Weird. We're weird.
And you can see what we look like. We're beautiful.
We're gorgeous. Oh, my God. And then the email is, our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and Michelle's company is Allure Consulting, based in the Bay Area and the Boston area.
I'm bi-coastal.
And my company is Christy Matthews Events.
Yeah.
And that is based in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Yes.
Y'all.
All right. Thank you all. Thanks, Christy. I'm going to go crash and go to bed now and cover myself up.
Okay. All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.